The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It is Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin on a numbers game where sports betting lives. It's happening. You good?
I'm good, man. I like that. It's a new little catchphrase for us. I like that.
What's that?
Where sports betting lives.
You know, I've been saying that for years.
Okay.
There was a hip-hop station in New York City. I want to say it was, I can't remember what the station was, but they said where hip-hop lives, and I always thought that was cool. So I just said where sports betting lives.
Boom.
Boom. I don't know what that means. by the way, Kelly Bidlin, can I just say this? Tomorrow on the show, we'll start with tomorrow. Dr. Bob, who releases his college football season win totals, he has been spectacular throughout his career doing college football season win totals. He will join us, as will former Super Contest winner James Salinas will join us here at the table. Of course, crack as well on a Thursday. And then Friday sushi. That's all you need to know
about
sushi.
Friday sushi.
Today on the show, JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, who's our senior NBA analyst, but will be here to talk both Major League Baseball and college football with us, co-host of VSiN Prime Time. He will join us coming up on the show. Will Hill will as well with all of his plays, as will Jason Weingarten, and Sia Najad will join us from the Monumental Sports Network in D.C., in the DMV, as the kids call it. Talk BMW Championship with us and National Football League. He's got some sneaky, freaky AFC teams that he believes will rise this year. I almost said AFL.
That would be interesting.
It's like 1963 up in here. So he will be there. And you will have some BMW thoughts as well.
Yep.
May I just say this about you? Because we didn't bring this up, and I just saw a glimpse behind your sort of stream of consciousness. Kelly Bidlin, the man known for the pronounced arm swing, his peculiar enjoyment of Flex Seal products, and also the author of a freezing cold take back in the day where he said he was very sorry, but Chris Singleton was going to have a better career than Kawhi Leonard. He noticed on the Pat McAfee show.
That's well done. Thank you very much.
Now, you noticed on the Pat McAfee first three things that came to mind.
I think that went for a lot of people.
This is what I just when people say, what is this, Kelly a nice guy? Well, let me tell you about Kelly. you believe that Pat McAfee on his show purposely, the producers of this show purposely tell their guests to have not orthodox camera setups. And this is like inside baseball.
You know, this is very inside TV, but yes, I it's been intriguing me ever since they started the show over on ESPN. We know how professional ESPN is. We know how professional remote setups that a lot of these people have because we've seen it on SportsCenter or other ESPN shows. So yeah, I'm assuming yes that on the Pat McAfee show that they tell their guests that we want you in a more natural setting look or something like that.
So even if they say I'm here in the ESPN studios, I can actually be on a real camera. They're like, no,
bust out your phone or laptop.
Bust out the phone.
And yeah, because you always kind of get like that upward angle too, right? Like they're looking down at their phone or something like that. They're often in the car too. They're usually in the car.
We do the same thing except unintentionally.
Right. Yeah. Ideally, we'd like a nice setup. Sometimes we just don't get that. Yeah.
All right. This is Kelly Bidlin's thoughts that run through his head during the show. All right. We have gotten lots of tweets from everybody about, hey, have you looked at week one of Survivor? Have you done any of this? By the way, have you entered yet? Have you paid? Circa Survivor, last year, $9.2 million, as the documentary so clearly states, looking for over $10 million. This year, I think they'll get over 10,000 entries, $1,000 per pop. Again, all you got to do, this is, I believe, the fourth. The pandemic year was the first year. So we're talking about the fifth year of Survivor now.
Yeah.
Circa one pick an entry every week. No spread. That's how Survivor works.
So easy. Just pick a winner.
And you have to remember you can't pick that team again. So essentially what you're doing, the other way to say this in betting terms is you're trying to hit, because they have a Thanksgiving and a Christmas stipulation as well. So you're trying to hit a 20-team money line parlay without using the same team twice. And you look at it that way, it's like, oh, not that easy.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. And remember, on Thanksgiving and Christmas, you're confined to only a few choices, a few game choices, about, a handful of teams. So You have not gotten in yet this year.
No, I haven't signed up for anything yet. We had Steve the Proxy at 702 Steve Sports on Twitter stopped by. He dropped us off with a couple of little gifts for us. But I was talking to him before the show because he runs a proxy service now. I'm like, how's it been going? Because I know I haven't signed up for anything yet. And he's like, yeah, ask me in 2 weeks.
That's how it always goes,
that, yeah,
right?
I think that we're in that period now.
I mean,
how many times have I feel like I've said it on the air three times over the past week where it's like, oh, this is kind of sneaking up on me a little bit more quickly than
I was
thinking.
Same thing. Yeah. So I haven't either, but I think it's going to be the same for me. 1 million and then five survivor entries. Probably going to do it that way. So looking at week one, obviously there's a Thursday and a Friday night game, week one in the National Football League this year. So I think on the Thursday night game, I think you will have a bunch of folks who will just take Baltimore right on the Thursday game, hoping that they can have a leg up and that somehow that upset happens. Kansas City loses. By the way, you can't pick Kansas City because you got Thanksgiving and Christmas where you got to really consider taking Kansas City on one of those two.
Are they one of the ones on both? I think Seattle is as well, right?
Yeah, but in Kansas City's case, like, again, if you just look at the – if you look out to the, you know, the look-ahead lines for those two for those 2 weeks or those two, you know, little flurries of Thanksgiving and Christmas, Kansas City's hosting the Raiders on Thanksgiving, and they're at Pittsburgh on Christmas. So they're about as good a proposition. By the way, Dallas also hosting the Giants on Thanksgiving, so they would also be a consideration. Other than those games – not that easy.
Yeah.
Not that easy at all. And keep in mind, I mentioned on Christmas, Kansas City on the road against Pittsburgh.
It's 49ers as well, right? Niners are Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's
yeah, but who are they? Seattle. But they're playing tough teams.
It's Ravens on Christmas and Seattle on Thanksgiving. Yeah. At Seattle.
I don't know if I want to touch those.
Yeah, I don't know that one either.
So I think there will be some who will take the Ravens on Thursday. Again, if you lose on that, let's say you had the full 10 entries, and that's the max. 10 entries, you know, max in quotes, because people, I don't know if you know this, Kelly, people have workarounds to that where they have more than 10 entries. But if you put all your 10 entries, let's say you're playing at kosher and you lose on the Ravens, you're allowed to re-up.
Yeah.
So people are going to do that. By the way, this is a great thing for boosting contest pools also. You know, I was in this.
I think it's a great strategy. Love the circuit does it.
Yeah.
I don't have a bankroll to do that. I'm not going to be.
You got to have the bankroll to do it. That's absolutely right. But we used to, when I was in this off the grid Ron and Mike East Coast Survivor pool in the NCAA, which, you know, got shut down by the feds, the football version of it did. I didn't organize it, feds. I was just part of it. I was up on the Eastern Seaboard. But that used to be the thing on the first day of March Madness. People would pick upsets early in the day, and then they would just re-up all day long, picking upset up after upset with all the different time slots. So a lot of people will try that. But let's say we're not doing the strategic thing. Let's say we're just analyzing it by games. Which are the survivor picks? Now, the number one is going to be, obviously, Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati's a 9-point favorite at home against the New England Patriots. There are other opportunities to play the Bengals. And if you are playing this with a game theory from the beginning, you probably don't play the Bengals, knowing that most will, or that they will be the most popular pick, and then you pray for an upset. But you know what, Kelly? Most people, and a lot of people are going to be first-time survivor players, most people are still going to pick Cincinnati.
Yeah.
It's going to be the number one pick.
And, you know, they're on my short list. I'm not going to lie to you. They're on my short list of options for week one that I think they are a good option. I do think, though, that there's going to be other times during the year that you're going to want to use them. And also keep in mind, like, I mean, health with the team, Jamar Chase, where are we at with him? Like, this isn't exact. You're not exactly catching Cincinnati probably at their strongest of where they're going to be during the season.
Some people, based on everything we've talked about during the offseason, some people are going to take Atlanta over Pittsburgh. Atlanta's at home. They're only 3-point favorites against Pittsburgh.
I bet it. I don't know how heavily I'm considering it for Survivor, but I did bet it.
Some people will. I will not. Because you just never know, right? You just never know on week one. Buffalo's a 6.5-point favorite. They're the second biggest favorite on the board, right? Buffalo's 6.5. Only Cincinnati hosting New England's a bigger favorite. Buffalo's a 6.5-point favorite hosting the Cardinals. Why does that game scare me? Not touching.
I was just brought up the other day. I'm mad I missed out on the 7. It's basically 6, 6.5. Maybe there's another 7 popping. That should be live feeding from DraftKings up on our screen right now. And
I'm down on the Bills this year, so I want no part of this.
Well, we were just discussing yesterday how many injuries they're dealing with heading into week one. And, like, look, that Cardinals offense was pretty dynamic last year when Kyler Murray got back into the lineup. The defense isn't all that great, but I you're going to give me, you know, 6.5, 7 points to that Cardinals team, I'm kind of interested in that side week one. So I would not be playing Bills in Survivor at all.
Seattle, 5-point favorites hosting Denver. That's also a biggish spread for week one. I am not touching that, even though I love Mike McDonald. I love the possibilities with the Seahawks this year. But as I said when I was talking about them, I think they will improve as the year goes on.
I agree.
So I'm not touching.
I agree. So I think that line of thinking, it follows along with Cincinnati for me, too, where I'm like, I don't think you're getting them at their best if you play them week one. However, Gil, they are one of the ones that are on my short list.
Here's the one that I think I will have multiple entries on. Maybe not all, maybe all, but certainly multiple. New Orleans is a 4.5-point favorite against Carolina. Again, the spreads don't matter for the purposes of Survivor. Mm-hmm. Just pointing it out as a guardrail. Mm-hmm. I think this is probably the way to go, at least my opinion here for me, because I don't think there is a more natural opportunity to take the Saints ever again. And if you buy into the Aaron Schatz thing, you know, where he says the Saints are going to win that division, they're just boring. That's why people sort of take their eyes off the Saints ball, if you will. Does it scare me a little bit? Sure, everything in week one scares me. But I do think I will have multiple entries on the Saints hosting the Panthers.
So they are, I think they're my second favorite. I think where I will likely go week one. Good, there's a chance I end up on the Saints for sure. I completely agree with everything you just said. Buccaneers, I'm staring at with your Commanders.
I knew you were going to say.
And it's just, I'm high on the Commanders and Jaden Daniels. Let me catch him before he gets too good and gets rolling with that offense.
Oh, he may catch you. So what's going to happen, baby? Let's go, Jaden. Get Kelly Bidlin. We'll come back. Football on the other side and baseball as well. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
If you missed episode one of Circus Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million, you can watch it now at VSiN.com. Five-part docuseries takes you inside the high-stakes world of the annual Circus Survivor contest. Follow the contestants as they make all-or-nothing picks over the 2023 NFL season and go behind the scenes of the world's largest legal betting contest. Several VSiN hosts make appearances along the way to offer their advice. You can watch episodes 2 through 5 once you've seen one, that is, next week, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. The same drill, VSiN.com, YouTube TV, as well as a live broadcast on X. Go to VSiN.com/Survivor for details or to watch episode number one. A lot of great feedback on episode number one, and honored to be a part of it. And Shalansky, the producer, he already texted me yesterday. He goes, hey, you available for this year's?
There you go.
Maybe later this week.
Season two. Boom, boom, boom.
They curse more.
I'm gonna curse.
It's gonna be my thing on all the documentaries I'm on. Just gonna curse. Is that a guy who curses on everything? Yeah,
does it? It does feel weird to me when I do it on podcasts, where it's like it feels like you're talking more naturally, but then because we do this every single day, there's a part of your brain that's like, well, you got a microphone in front of you. What are you doing?
Well, never in 7.5 years have I ever slipped on the show. But on the podcast,
that's a jinx.
So on the total jinx. By the way, over under is an hour and a half from now. Now,
right, right. After I said exactly, that. Yeah.
But when I do it on the podcast, though, it always startles the guests because they're like, "Wait, what's happening? We're allowed to do that." By the way, speaking of cursing, Steve Fezzik has texted in the show. He says, "I love it." He's on the Saints as well. Apparently, he goes, "We shove with the Saints. If they lose, we kick Aaron Schatz's blank." So there you go. Or Survivor talk on that. Steve the Proxy just here. So he is literally, he's trying to sign people up. So proxy's in full effect. You don't have a proxy because you're local, right? But some people, even if they're local, they want to have a proxy.
I think I can make the 7-foot walk to sign up.
Yeah. But the problem is what the deadline's Saturday. You don't work Saturday here, do you?
No.
Okay, so what do you mean? You're just going to put them in Friday?
Yeah. I'll just put them in before it. Yeah.
Ooh.
Wait. Yeah. Or you could do it on the app.
But I'm saying for you, that's what I'm saying. You still could forget, though, on the app, right? You're living life.
Yes. But I set alarms like crazy. Are you kidding me?
You do. That's what I was getting at. You have multiple alarms.
Multiple alarms. Yes, okay. Multiple alarms. Saturday is usually just staggered during the football season with alarms.
Let me get some tennis picks out here. Yesterday, I had one pick. It was a +180 dog. She lost in straight sets. Do you know what the score was in the second set, Kelly? We were up 5-0.
We need to create a Gil Twitter account of just tennis bad beats.
We were up 5-0 in the second set. 5-0. You know how many games you have to win a set? 6.
Yeah. Well, that's easy. She only had to win one more.
She lost at 7-5. She, Golubich, this is, she lost, she squandered 7 set points. And so we lost in 2 sets.
What, did she forget how to swing a racket or something? Like, that's got to be, when
I'm
you're up 5-5-love. That is brutal.
All of this, too, is like it's interrelated, too. So the run since the Olympics has been spectacular. So I'm like, okay, great. I'm going to collect. I'm going to have all this pile of cash. And then I'm going to buy my Circus Survivor and Millions entries, right? So it's all like sports betting related allocation of resources. But then when you go on a run where you have this thing, you're like, the pile is small, is much smaller. And you're like, I got my Circa entries, so we better pick this up.
We were talking about that on Long Shots yesterday because Matt hit on Hideki over the weekend, and it's like we've moved to our football brains now, right? Where it's like, oh, it's not golf winnings. It's paying for contest entries, the winnings off of that bet.
That's exactly how all of us think about it at this time of year. And it's also one of those things where I would normally wait till after the U.S. Open to settle up, but I got to get the entries.
Right.
We have 4 plays today. Again, these are all data-driven on this, and I'm just going to make sure all of these prices are still in play. But
girl's back today.
It's all on the ladies' side. A tennis in the land. That's how the Cleveland cool kids call it. Tennis in the land. I'm on Victoria Tomova over Arantxa Rus. How do you pronounce that, Kelly?
Arantxa.
Yeah.
It's very tough.
Got her at +102. She's not quite as good here. She's at -106. I'd still play it. I would not let it get past -110, though. Again, these are up at VSiN.com/picks the night before. Every host, every guest, every sport, all their plays at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. So Victoria Tomova at +102 over Arantxa Rus. Don't let it get too much higher. Clara Towson, I got a +117 against Anastasia Potapova. Towson is right around there. She's +115. You could still play that. The dog today is Jessica Buzas Monero. She's at +165 over Katerina Siniakova. Buzas Monero is now +135. Again, pays to be a subscriber. That is not nearly as fun. And quite frankly, I'm not sure I would play it at +135. +165, absolutely a bet. Again, this is why you got to get them the night before. And then Clara Burrell, -106 over Sophia Kennan is the 4th and final one. Burrell is at -119. I don't know if you could really play that either. That's like at the right teetering. So anyway, the top two are playable. Let's put it that way. Tomova and Towson. Monero and Burrell, up to you if you want to play them, but I can't endorse at current prices.
Second match in a row fading Kennan, right?
Yes. Kennan beat Valinets. Valinets, we had a match point.
Right.
And they were playing in wind. And Kennan wasn't even chasing certain balls.
Is this more of a, because I feel like I do this with golf matchups, is it a more of a bet on Burrell, fade Kennan, or 50-50?
A little bit of both here. Okay, yeah, a little bit of both. A little bit both.
I feel like
case.
Most of the time that's the answer when it comes to golf matchups too. But like sometimes it's just an outright fade of one person or a, you know, play on one person.
U.S. Open, by the way, I'll say it again with the ladies' side. Yes, I do have a bet on Iga because her raw data for hard courts is best. But this would be the year to take a couple long shot flyers on the ladies' side. Again, draw tomorrow. Drew and I doing a U.S. Open tennis podcast tomorrow, so I will have a better read on what's the best value. We won't talk about it pre-draw until we see what the matchups and what the path is.
What do you recommend for bettors out there, though? Because I always think there's, like, is it just 50-50 whether kind of the odds are going to improve or get worse on you based on the draw?
Yeah.
You know, like either betting now or waiting till tomorrow.
Totally. Sometimes it works out for you, sometimes it doesn't.
So, like, you'd rather know exactly where you're at before you're going to go make a futures bet and what the path is going to be for who you are.
Yeah, especially with the U.S. Open because you have some time, so you don't have to rush into it. But some of the other slams that we've had, or in Indian Wells, I can't remember which is the one where it's like 36 hours before they start playing, they put out the draw, and you're like, whoa, I might not even get around to it because who knows when they'll post quarters and that kind of thing.
I hate that for bettors, but like it's kind of cool from a playing standpoint. Like it gives you less time to prep for that first round matchup.
Oh, for the players themselves?
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Well, you know what? That's good for the players because they shouldn't be looking ahead anyway. Just focus in. Yeah. Bill Barnwell put out his annual teams most likely to decline, teams most likely to improve article at ESPN.com. Did you see this?
No, I did not.
Bill Barnwell, who, let me give him some street cred on this. Since 2017, 27 of the 33 teams he's picked to decline have produced worse records the following season. Last year's improve and decline combined went a combined 7-1.
Okay.
Now, this is, he's not a better.
Right, this is basic record stuff.
He's not a better. That's right. So he's just talking about improve, decline, literally. But is there is their record better or is their record worse?
Yeah, like that might sound easy, but it's kind of the same thing as Survivor, right? Like where we're like, just pick a winner each week. How hard could it be?
I just wanted to focus in on one for this purposes right now, which is one of the decliners, which is, to nobody's surprise, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Have you heard this before about the Steelers? But I wanted to pile on with Barnwell so that if Mike Tomlin does not decline and they actually, let's say, went over their season win total, it would just drive home the point even more what magical beans this guy is working with. So, of course, he talks about many of the things we have. He also adds, the Steelers last year, their record in games decided by 7 or fewer points was 9-2, right? So it makes them a prime candidate for a decline. On close games alone, he says the teams in the Steelers subset, by the way, have an overall record decline by an average of more than 3 wins. They, by the way, the Steelers last 3 years, 29-10-1 in games decided by 7 points or fewer. So again, this is supposed to regress. Maybe Mike Tomlin is just magic. Last year, they were outgained. Remember this? We talked about it. First 9 games last year, they were outgained in every one of them, and they went 6-3.
Yeah.
Remember that? Over the past 3 seasons, they went 28-7 when they won or tied the turnover battle, and 0-15-1 when they lost it. So they really, it's the turnovers that get them these wins. They have the league's fifth best winning percentage when they win or tie the turnover battle. They're the league's worst team when they don't. Over the past 3 seasons, they have 6 more wins than the Pythagorean expectation. This is very baseball, right? Runs scored, runs given up. Same thing with points scored, points given up in football. 6 more wins than that would dictate. That's the 4th largest gap between win total and expected win total over a 3-year span since 1989. They've managed to pull this off with, of course, the Picketts, Rudolphs, and Trubisky's of the world. Now they have Wilson and Fields. Don't forget Deontay not replaced on offense. The D, much older up front. But here's another one. Last year, they got to face Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Will Levis, Gardner Minshew, Bailey Zappi, Tyler Huntley, all these backups. They went 4-3 in those games. Mm-hmm. And opposing teams failed to score even a field goal on 11 of their 50 trips inside the 20-yard line against the Steelers, which was the league's highest rate, 22%. Put all that in the mix, this team can't be nearly as good, and their schedule is the worst thing ever. Can you imagine?
Can't wait to lose again.
That's Barnwell on the Steelers. More next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. We will get to more of the Barnwell. I'll list all of them. I just wanted to focus in on the Steelers there just to pile on with all the reasons why the Steelers were just smoke and mirrors, not only last year, but the last 3 years. And then, of course, inevitably, there's going to be some people who listen to that and are like, oh, no, Mike Tomlin is just that great. Leader of men.
Yeah.
So
it's bit me in the ass, that's for sure. At some point, between the Steelers and the Miami Heat, I should probably stop getting in front of quality organizations.
Spit Kelly and the Tuchus.
Mm-hmm.
We get tweets at Beanie the Book. This is from, boop-a-doop-a-doo, Warrior013. You and I did that first coach to be fired thing. As soon as I saw the list, he said Sirianni. The honeymoon is over, and I don't think the players are all in on him anymore. McCarthy should not even be coaching on opening day. Nick is the only play. He agrees with me about Sirianni. Chris Heath, illogical reasoning attest one of these upsets has to happen eventually. Right. I think he's talking about Survivor, I think. Master of Puppets is. He says, agree on the Saints, but Kelly, do you really want to put your Survivor life on Baker Mayfield?
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Very simple. And then Tim Thompson, and we'll get to more of these. Tim Thompson about the first coach to be fired. McCarthy's on a lame duck contract. Not sure if that makes it more likely or not if things go south. Jerry has only done it once. Wade Phillips 2010, which ironically in a roundabout way probably ended up with McCarthy in Dallas. And the numbers, guys, one more. Yes, Gil, Saints. Sure, they could end up stinking this year, but built into this pick is fading the Panthers. I'd like to bet against the Giants all year as well. Dare I say Vikings week 1 on the road. And inevitably, I'll get to the others coming up. Inevitably, there are some who will have the strategy of, you know, a lot of people have multiple entries. One of their survivor entries is just going to be, this is the fade Patriots entry, or this is a fade pick your team entry. Part of the reason why I was able to get to week 14, the first year of Survivor before crashing out, was it was just the fade the Jets and Jaguars year every week. So sometimes you can simplify it. Will Hill joins us now. He is courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast and, of course, part of the team that is on Chris Felica's podcast empire over there at Fox Sports, the Bear Bet Spot. Will joins us now from his well-lit studio somewhere in the northeast part of this country. How you doing, Will?
Gilly, what's going on? What was the name of the podcast? What was I going to call it until you changed my mind? I always forget.
Oh, you were going. Yeah, I remember this very well. I remember it like it was yesterday. You said, Gil, I really want to call this the, you know, I wish I would have wagered a greater amount of money podcast. And now I have many regrets about it. And I was like, no, just call it Shoulda Bet More. And you were like, okay, it's a better name.
Very happy I condensed that. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good job by you. College football, by the way. Week zero. You got anything?
Yeah, look, I'm happy it's back. It's not exactly, you know, it's not exactly Michigan, Ohio State this week or Georgia, Alabama, but we do have some games. They're scattered about, so they cover every sort of window here, starting at noon Eastern. I'm going to take the bait and take New Mexico plus 11. You got the 1AA team on the road laying 11. I'm sure there's a reason. Like I just feel like this, and I don't believe in like trap lines, but this certainly feels like, all right, what am I missing here? I get New Mexico's bad, but they got a decent quarterback, played a little bit at the end of last year, threw 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. Dampier, he could run a little bit. I think both teams will run the ball, which helps the underdog, maybe shorten the game. 11 just seems like a lot. This open 3, and I'm just of the belief, I don't, Steve Fezzik talked about this a lot, just like a bridge too far where, okay, books might be off by a point, couple points, but when you start moving these lines 3-4 points at a time multiple times, it just, you're late to the party if you're laying the point. So I could only look towards the New Mexico plus 11. Florida State, Georgia Tech's an interesting game. Georgia Tech's got a ton of offense back. I think they'll be able to move the ball. I just don't know if they'll be able to stop anyone. Florida State, just good, like, you know, good on the trenches, good up front, bigger than Georgia Tech. I think this is an over game, maybe a Florida State team total over. 55.5, you're right under that key number. I'm still waiting to see on the weather because supposedly it might rain there in Ireland, and you always have to worry about the field conditions in these games where they don't host football games all the time. But let's call it over 55.5, Florida State, Georgia Tech, and I'll take the 11 there with New Mexico. Again, not exactly Georgia Bama here on Saturday, but
not exactly. Yeah. Do we like the week zero moniker? Like, have you sort of cozied up to that or not really?
Oh, the moniker's fine. I don't get why they dip one toe in, one toe out.
I don't know
why they don't just start at one at a time. I know somebody DM'd me a couple weeks ago because I was talking about this with Dave Ross on our show. I guess it's financial where the teams that play Hawaii, they try to cover the cost financially and add the extra week or something along those lines. And usually when you ask a question of why is something, usually the answer is money. But it is sort of a weird way to get your season started where it's just sort of you dip one toe in and I don't know. The moniker's fine. Week zero. It is sort of week zero, but I don't know. I wish they just kind of went all in, but who knows?
I mean, it's stupid. Like, really stupid. Just call it week one. Like, yeah. It's fine if a lot of teams don't play on week one. Still week one of the college football season.
Anything to Delaware State missing their flight to Hawaii? Does this sort of move your handicapping needle at all?
No, I was looking at Delaware State before that just because Hawaii does get UCLA next week and figure, hey, second half, just run the ball, take the foot off of gas. Like if you're laying 40 or taking 40 with Hawaii, Delaware State, you're going to get what you deserve. There's plenty of season left. There's plenty of things to bet on. I don't know. If you do like Delaware State for whatever reason, you think that line's inflated, Hawaii's probably going to be up 14-0, 21-0 pretty quickly. You could probably get a much better number in game. So nothing for me. It is fascinating because Jeff Schwartz was talking about this yesterday on the Bear Bets podcast. Like, it's not that easy to just get a college football team to Hawaii, like snap of the fingers. Oh. Think about it. Like 100 college football players, training staff, cheerleaders, coaches, all that stuff. It's not like, hey, let's just find our way to Hawaii. So it'll be interesting how they get there. If they get there, I'm assuming they'll find a way, but very, very odd subplot, that one.
Yeah, it's Delaware State. It's not like they're taking a charter flight or anything. I got deplaned twice just trying to visit my mom in D.C. Like, and by the way, this was not an airline issue. This was the buses didn't sort of get scheduled correctly or whatever. So anyway, baseball today, sir, what do you have?
Yeah, it's such a good time of the year too, because if you bet baseball futures like divisions, win totals, the best thing about that, you have action for 6 months, but this time of year, like, you feel that action so much more, where, you know what, you lose a game June 3rd and you have an overtime. Ah, it bothers you, but you know what, you get over it. Now it's just like, you feel the action so much more. Everything is so magnified. It is a lot of fun. I don't know who the hell the Yankees are to be laying almost $2 to pretty much anyone that's decent. I know the pitcher going for Cleveland is lousy, but boy, and we were texting about this last night. It's hard to put together a team with Judge and Soto and how good they are and still be pretty lousy. And they're incredible. Just the rest of the team. If those two don't get a hit and you get to that extra inning scenario, it's like, all right, is DJ LeMahieu going to come through? Is Alex Verdugo going to come through? It's such a bad lineup outside of those two. It's really amazing. Cleveland plus a run and a half, the road team, maybe the Yankees are up a run after, eight and you don't get that final at bat. I'll pick Cleveland plus a run and a half. I like the Houston-Boston over. Verlander is returned. I don't like backing pitchers coming off the injured list. I just think, who knows, rhythm, how sharp are they? Boston can hit. Houston can hit. Criswell going for the Red Sox. He stinks too. So I'll go over 8.5 there. And I'm trying to figure out a way to fade our buddy Cole Irvin. Cole Irvin, if you remember, Gilly, he was on the mound.
Oh, I do.
When you won that June 30th bet. Yes, he's back. And boy, Baltimore cannot catch a break with these pitchers. Otherwise, they'd be up 4 or 5 games. I don't know if you saw this. Zach Eflin, who they got at the trade deadline, the pitcher from the Rays, he's been awesome for them. 4-0 in 4 starts. He's been great every time out. He's hurt now. So Baltimore's basically missing 5 of their top 6 starters. So Irvin goes today, 6 expected ERA, 300 expecting batting average. So now the question is, how do I fade him? Do I just take the Mets on the money line? Mania's been pretty good. Do I just take the Mets first 5 team total over 2.5? I'm leaning towards taking the over 2.5 first five team total plus 115 at DraftKings. That's probably the way I'll play, and I'll probably play some Mets money line because Irvin is just a complete fade. And it's interesting. Baltimore still getting in like plus 105 to win the division. This Yankee schedule, this soft Yankee schedule that was supposed to propel them to the AL East lead. You know what? You look up, it's August 21st. A lot of days have come off the calendar, and they've not made up any ground. They've not pulled away. They lost games to the White Sox. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Tigers. They lost games to Toronto. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Angels. They've let this slip away. So I would look towards the plus money here with Baltimore. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Baltimore wins this division.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And this is just, again, a testament to how long the baseball season is. Do you remember that? I think it was June 2nd. I went to a game at Oracle, the Giants and the Yankees, and it was Duvall on the hill. The Giants were up 2 in the 9th, and this is before we know Duvall was going to have a terrible year necessarily, and the Yankees ended up plating 4 in the 9th, and I remember walking out of that stadium and thinking, oh my God, this Yankees team is invincible, right? Like, they were just, I remember you just, oh, they're really good, right? Like, we all thought that. All that said, we should still look at the whole Major League standings. They're only 1.5 games worse than the best record in all of baseball, right? So it's all relative.
It breaks my brain. I can't even comprehend that. Like, it makes no sense. You watch this team every night and to tell me, hey, they're right there for best team in baseball. It makes no sense. It really doesn't.
All right. Last 30 seconds. I asked this of folks yesterday. What is the consensus, at least in your world, the consensus NFL season long bet that you hear all the time and you're like, I just cannot get into it?
I just think, I don't know if this quite answers your question. I think people are too dismissive of Dallas. Has anybody in America anywhere picked Dallas to win the division? 12 years in a row, 12 wins 3 years in a row here for Dallas. And people act like they just have no chance. I think that's just a little disrespectful to them.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Will Hill, everybody. At not the Will Hill. Should have been more podcast. VSiN College Football Guide, Kelly. It is available right now. Again, monthly subscription for just $19. Experience how VSiN can elevate your betting game. Get it, sign up today. All the tools and trends for college football and NFL seasons for just $175, your early bird price.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D, Bar Canada, the Barrage, here in downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Only 3 more days of McDonald's here at the D, and then it is Tostada.
But who's counting? I thought it was the 26th. Right. I thought it was...
Well, for us, because it's the week. It ends on the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so 3 more days for
Sunday.
Us. Yeah. Yeah.
That's tough.
Sushi in 2 days, going to be announced. Not ready for the smoke, according to someone.
Are we going tomorrow night?
I'll call him tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll call him tonight. I think we're going. Me, you, Samich. Oh, I got to ask Matt Brown if he wants to go. Matt Brown doesn't do sushi?
Or we just dip out on... No, I don't know that. I all I was saying was I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't.
Okay. He's very picky, that guy.
He's a little picky. He's a little bit more picky than people realize. Yeah.
Mike Somich can appreciate a man who watches what he eats. Mike Somich coming out of the... Santa Barbara, as can Sia Najad, who has been known to come out of the gym to do appearances on this show. Sia Najad, of course, a host on the Monumental Sports Network out of the DMV, coming courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line to talk golf and football with us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. I'm a little jealous. I want to come to lunch or dinner with you guys as well. I might have to fly out just to tag along.
All right. You're welcome. Come on down.
Tomorrow night, Sia, get on a flight.
That's right. Get on a flight. Because starting Friday, it could get ugly. Okay, let's start with golf. BMW Championship, second leg of the three tournament FedEx Cup events. First of all, do you bet the FedEx Cup market before last week? Do you do any of that?
No, but I will say that, you know, you can still get Scottie Scheffler to win the FedEx Cup playoffs at minus 115. You all probably may already know that, but it's minus 130, which makes sense that it's moved. I still like that bet. I still think Scottie's going to end up winning, whether he wins this week or not. And even if Xander overtakes him or wins this week, I like Scottie to win this thing at minus 130. But I typically, from a future standpoint, I go tournament to tournament. So typically I don't do like a big conglomerate bet.
By the way, do you love how much Scottie hates this whole format? He's like, oh, this is so... His silly was the word he used. Because he's like, you know, a whole year of my performance, but then like if I get sick the last weekend, I can lose the season-long FedEx Cup points thing? He hates it.
So I get his argument, but at the same time, like, that's literally every sport in their playoffs. Like, you know, you could have a bad game in the NFL playoffs and get bounced, and you were like the Patriots, you know, when they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl, they were clearly the better team all season, and they had one bad day, one bad pass, whatever the case may be, and they lose. I mean, that's the playoff experience.
And it gives other players a chance. Otherwise, there wouldn't be.
I don't love it. I don't love the whole setup. I never really have, but like what Sia brought up, at least that's where it's, if you're trying to design a playoffs, it does actually kind of match other sports in that fashion. So sorry, Scotty, it's not. Yeah. And the PGA Tour already fixes it, right? Like they're starting strokes and these guys that advance, it's already way too baked in. What you've done in the regular season carries over to the playoffs anyways.
What about the BMW, Sia? What do you got?
So what I got is I think Scottie or Xander is going to win this thing. So what I'm trying to find across all markets, and you can really find this anywhere at this point, is taking a player in the without Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele market. Listen, if you want to take Scottie at plus 300 or Xander at plus 550, I'm not going to argue with you. That's not what I'm doing. I'm actually focusing on that without market, taking those two guys out of it and taking guys like Patrick Cantlay, who right here we see at 16-1. You can get him at 12-1 in the without Scottie and Xander market. I like him there. I think he's heating up. We know he usually heats up around the FedEx Cup playoffs, but that's actually been borne out over the last four or five tournaments. One hiccup over the last four or five tournaments, but he's been really good. The accuracy can be an issue, but the approach play, the short game, it's all there. And I say accuracy, I mean, lately it's been an issue, but I think he lines up well to maybe finish first here, but certainly maybe second or third behind those two stalwarts in Scottie and Xander. The other guy I like from a more long shot standpoint is Adam Scott. I'm betting him in the without Scottie Xander market as well, and that's 40-1. Those are the two guys I'm leaning on.
All right, and you do your typical top 10, top 20 matchups and first round. It can't be a Sia Najad golf segment without a first round leader thought. What do you got?
It sure can't. We're going to go with, speaking of camp, we're going to go with Patrick Cantlay. Listen, it's an uninspiring play. People don't like to back Patrick Cantlay. I just like the momentum he's carrying into this tournament. He's 25-1 to be a first round leader. He has a morning tee time, which I think will help. There's going to be some thunderstorms maybe tomorrow that could make things a little interesting, but Patrick Cantlay, 25-1, Adam Scott again at 35-1. And then I'm going with the long shot. I had him last week and he was a 12 footer away from tying the first round lead at 60-1. It's Taylor Pendrith. Now he's 50-1. He's a guy that I don't think can win this tournament, but can get hot for a round, particularly with the putter and the ball striking. So those are my three first round leader.
Okay.
See, is this more of a bet on Morikawa in the matchup, or are you on the full fade Rory train right now as he's stumbling down the to the finish line?
Well, the beauty of that question is it's both. It's truly both. It's Colin Morikawa is playing well. He wasn't great last week, but he's playing well, a great course fit, and Rory's kind of tumbling and stumbling here. I even think if Rory bounces back, I still think Colin Morikawa has the edge here. I think he's the better course fit. I think he's in the better form. So I like Colin -110 over Rory. And then that other one, Victor over Ludvig. Victor's playing better. Both of their hiccups are in the around the green department. And so you can cancel each other out on that one. I just think Victor's in much better form. This number -120 over Ludvig in a tournament matchup, I think you could play this up to -135. That's where I think the number should be.
All right. So in addition to Cantlay and Scott is outright, you've got Cantlay top 10 +150. You've got Aaron Ryan, Adam Scott at -120 and even money respectively, top 20 as well. I move it along because I want to get talk football because you, and I teased this earlier, you like some AFC teams that many don't have on their radar this year. Explain, sir.
Okay, so the first one that comes to mind is the Colts. And I think, you know, you ask that question to all your guests of, you know, what's a bet that you're willing to fade or a team that you're willing to fade that a lot of teams are on. I think the Texans are one of those teams for me, but it's not because I think the Texans are going to be bad. I just think we're underrating the Indianapolis Colts. So the two teams that come to mind for me that have tremendous upside, largely because their team is mostly complete and their quarterbacks have a ton of upside. It's the Cleveland Browns, who are 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. And it's the Colts, who I like in the division market at like +310, +330, wherever you get it. I think the Colts, their interiors are really good. Offensive line, defensive line, I think they're very good. Anthony Richardson, if he stays healthy, he's going to be a problem. Same deal with Jonathan Taylor. They have the skill position players. I think they have enough in that department. Their secondary, not very good, but I think that defensive line can really hide a lot of things with that secondary. And then just moving to the Browns, I mean, listen, where is this team lacking other than potentially at quarterback? Let's remember, Deshaun Watson, of course, had all of those issues, which I think impacted his play, rightfully so. But he also had the shoulder surgery that was you guys know me. I'm the king of knowing about shoulders, right? 7 full dislocations.
Deshaun Watson had every time he says it. 7.
Sorry.
And you popped them all in Mel Gibson style?
Riggs. Okay. Yeah.
So 5 out of 7. 2, I actually needed the emergency room because they were so far out. It's... Wow. I get shivers just talking about it right now. But my larger point is this isn't a normal shoulder surgery that he underwent a couple of years ago. It's a more complex one. And I could see a situation where he's actually more comfortable from a physical standpoint with his arm going into this season with potentially the best defense in the league, a good offensive line, some weapons on the outside. Like, this is one of those upside situations with both Anthony Richardson and Deshaun Watson, where if they can mirror the small sample size we saw with Anthony Richardson and what we saw, at least 80% of what we saw with Deshaun Watson 3 years ago, these teams can make a huge impact. I think the Browns are alive even to win their division, in spite of the fact that I would be betting the Ravens in that department. I think both those teams are very good and kind of being undersold right now.
Let's do some rapid fire. Quick answers to these. Are the Patriots as bad as everyone believes them to be and as bad as the market suggests they will be? 4.5, their season win total. Yes.
Yes, under.
Are the Steelers going to just absolutely crater like many think they will this year?
Yes. In fact, I liked it when the lines came out. I kind of waffled a little bit, but now I'm back on the Falcons week 1 money line, or you can take the spread there against the Steelers. I think they're kind of a mess right now.
Are the Eagles going to win the NFC East?
It's a great bet. -120, -125. Absolutely love it. Yes.
Wow. I can't find one that he doesn't like here so far. Are the Niners the best team talent-wise, balanced top to bottom in the entire NFL?
Top to bottom, no. I believe it or not, I think the Detroit Lions are right there with them. I think the Lions and the Niners are going to, one of them is going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. And I think that, like, if you look at the top, but if you look at top to bottom, like top is the Niners. But if you look top to bottom, I think the depth, I think that lies on both sides of the ball with the Detroit Lions.
Surprise team, surprise in quotes. Let's, subjective description of surprise, obviously, but surprise team, according to most, that will make the playoffs in the NFC is?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going Washington Commanders.
There you go, baby. That's what I was leaning towards. See how I guide Sia towards. Monumental Sports Network will be happy with that. Sia, next time we see you on the screen in a sports book, we will absolutely take a photo of that, send it to you at Monumental Sports Network and the work you do at CBS as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Hold on with both.
All right. See you, Najat, everybody. Thank you, see. Always great to see you, man.
Thanks, gentlemen. Really appreciate it.
You can follow Sia at Sia Najad, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D, on the old Twitter machine. I'll go back into that Barnwell column, his top five to decline, his top five to improve, and season wins, what bets we've made on a season win Wednesday. We start the tradition anew. Next.